A century ago, one in three students in America attended class in a one-room schoolhouse. Most of those schools have gone the way of the slide rule, but some remain. They're a rite of passage for kids who are growing up in rural communities, particularly in the West. Taki Telenidis of the Western Folklife Center visited one school in a place not easily found on the map.
Jigs, elevation 5476. A small green sign is about all that marks this lonely spot in northern Nevada. A brisk wind whistles over snow-capped peaks in the distance, across a yawning valley of sagebrush, past the bar and post office, and into the playground of the Mound Valley School. An American flag snaps in the breeze, and inside, sleepy students snap to attention. The classroom could be anywhere, with a cursive alphabet stretching above the blackboard and Halloween witches dangling from light fixtures. But this classroom is more than just a room in a school. It's the entire school, shared by tiny kindergartners with kids twice their age, and no one's too old for show and tell.
I signed up for 4-H, and I'm going to share a rabbit. Show a rabbit.
There you go.
Cheryl Turner has taught in this room for 19 years. She grew up in this community of about 40 families and is related to several of her 15 students. This year, Mrs. Turner is teaching grades 1 through 6, plus kindergarten.
All right, let's get started this morning. Third graders, will you get ready for math?
Like little foot soldiers, the kids scramble into position. Desks are shifted, books fly open, and the chalkboard starts squeaking out math equations. Think about this math problem. 6 subjects times 6 grades equals 36, plus 4 subjects for kindergarten equals 40 lessons a day, exclamation point. It's tempting to doubt that all this can be taught effectively, but over the years, Cheryl Turner has learned to solve the equation.
First and second grade, would you get out your spelling, please? Fifth and sixth grade, you're on
number one, grouping.
Like fifth and sixth grade, they're grouped for English, reading. Third and fourth grade, I group them for science and social studies. I find group work, the kids learn more anyway.
Number two, have the older kids help the younger kids.
When it says 11:17, just put a dash between the 7 and teen.
Oh, okay.
And I find, too, some of the kids are better teachers than I am because they teach little tricks that they've learned that I don't know.
And finally, number three, have each child keep and update an assignment book. This may sound like a lot to expect from grade school students, but this is ranch country, and most of these kids are used to doing chores, like third grader Alexis Peters.
I have to feed my rabbits, I have to feed my little baby kitten, I have to feed my cat Morty on the back deck, I have to feed my dad's bulls, I have to feed three leppy calves, and those are about it.
Probably the biggest challenge for these students is concentrating on their own work with so much going on around them. Alexis was asked about this by her cousins from the suburbs.
And I told them it's kind of confusing because you have other kids just working around you, and it's kind of hard. And they said, wow, at least it's better than having a whole bunch of like 37 kids in your class. And because one of my cousins, he said that they always mess around and throw stuff at you.
And discipline can be an issue here.
How many recesses are we giving up today? You're headed to 2. You're not working. Put that up, sit up, pull your sleeves up so you quit playing with your sweatshirt and let's get going. Most of the discipline problems are handled right here at school. And if they're a big enough problem, I just walk out to the parents' cars after school. That takes care of a lot of it.
For more serious issues, Mrs. Turner could call over the principal. But his office is not down the hall. It's about a 45-minute drive away. But for the most part, these kids seem to get along very well. Even at recess, the whole class, boys, girls, young and old, team up for a game of playground hockey.
Shelby is in 4th, Cal's in 1st, Adrian is in 3rd. And then for the other team, we've got Dean, he's in 5th, And Cassie, she's in first. And Alex is in third. And I'm a ref.
A few weeks after school began this fall, Mrs. Turner took a recess. She attended a conference with about 15 other one-room school teachers. They met in Battle Mountain at the offices of the Bureau of Land Management. They began by trying to locate their tiny communities on a map of Nevada.
Boy, and these are new bifocals, too.
Then, going around the table for introductions, veterans offering encouragement to new teachers.
Marty Spell, Denio Primary, 1 week.
This conference was born out of frustration with traditional teacher training, which assumes that students are separated by grade.
So most of the training that we go to is 85% useless for us.
Carolyn Duffarina teaches at the Denio School on Nevada's border with Oregon.
So we decided, well, we might as well rely on each other because we, in fact, do have answers to our own problems. Some of us have an answer to this problem, and some of us have an answer to that problem.
We had a staff meeting, and we were talking about where we need to raise our test scores, and measurement was one of the areas where our kids were really low. And it got me thinking, as an art teacher, I think I can teach kids how to measure.
Jennifer Poole teaches in Winnemucca, and she's demonstrating a lesson she's developed that combines geometry with art.
And then they look at them, and they're like, oh my gosh, we drew a curve with straight lines, Miss Poole. Check it out.
The other teachers soak it in, nodding and taking notes. This year's focus is math and meeting the standards set by No Child Left Behind, just like schools in cities and suburbs. Lacey Thompson from Kings River has been looking forward to today ever since she started teaching just 2 months ago.
Like, we had the storage room, and when we first looked in there, there's books for kindergarten through eighth grade, every level, every subject, and you're just like, oh my god. And so we took the STO off the door and made it the rage room instead of just the storage room.
Teaching in a one-room school was a lifelong dream for Lacey Thompson, who was inspired by another teacher here today. Linda Bunch just retired after 35 years in one-room schools. She was invited to share her wisdom for teaching to multiple grades.
Okay, so you have your 25 cubes. So I would have if you were pairing an older one with a younger one, I would have that little one double check the counting. And these are neat cubes.
Big new ideas in education usually come from Washington or the academic world. But teacher Carolyn Duffarina says she's found one-room schools are a perfect incubator for innovation.
You have the time for reflection. There is silence, which you don't have in the city at all, ever. When you are in a quiet place, your mind fills it with ideas that you generate. That's why I live in the middle of nowhere, because I really believe your mind blossoms in a quiet place.
Back in Jigs, the silence is broken by the day's music lesson. Mrs. Turner has handed out instruments, and her class follows along in a songbook of Halloween hits.
Okay. Let's put the instruments away and we'll be done.
After a lunch break, the kids settle back into their lessons, with Mrs. Turner gliding from grade to grade, keeping everyone on track. Luckily, she has some help this year. When her class size increased from 13 to 15, she was allowed to hire a teacher's aide, Cindy Nash.
Katie is at her desk working on spelling. Garrett is working on phonics. Adriana is doing her science project. Ricky is...
As the clock ticks toward the end of the day, the parents, one by one, pull into the parking lot to wait for their kids. Lisa Peters put her children in the one-room schoolhouse after she saw how a bigger school handled a problem her daughter was having.
I immediately got moved to a different section of people that handle those kind of problems. The teacher sort of removed herself from the whole situation. And out here, if there's any problems like that, Mrs. Turner's involved. If something's gone wrong that day, either she'll stop me or I'll call her later in the evening, and it's a constant, everyday thing almost.
Lisa Peters says the Mound Valley School is the heart of the community. Potlucks, Christmas plays, and other gatherings bring the valley together. But the heart almost stopped beating a few years ago when the school district wanted to close Mound Valley for budget reasons. Peters and the other parents fought the plan and won.
Okay, does everybody have their homework?
Yes.
Okay, do your jobs.
In minutes, the flag is folded, chalkboard erased, and trash emptied. One student makes sure everyone's desk is left tidy.
Shelby's is always the worst.
As with her other methods, having the kids take care of their school comes straight out of Mrs. Turner's book on teaching.
Just do the best we can with these kids. Teach them to be independent, teach them to take care of things on their own, and send them off.
A sentiment that probably would be repeated by teachers anywhere in America, particularly in schools with the luxury of a gymnasium, a computer lab, and sports teams. But the Mound Valley School has something few others can boast of, spelled out on a fading plaque next to the door Mrs. Turner pulls shut in the wind. It says that more than 20 years ago, this schoolhouse was built by students. For NPR News, I'm Taki Telenidis in Jiggs, Nevada.
Taki Telenidis' story about one-room schools was produced with Hal Cannon of the Western Folklife Center. To see photographs of the Mound Valley School, please go to our website, npr.org.